You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
As the facts have changed and as the situation became more serious, there is no doubt that the best way to get the maximum bang for the taxpayers' buck here was to invest in shares of banks and to increase capital that way.
That was Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson speaking this morning, trying to provide some confidence in the latest moves by the Treasury, which is to inject $250 billion into the banking system, hoping to unlock a credit freeze that is concerning governments from the United States all over the world. Joining me in the studio today is Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection. And clearly, the economy, the turmoil that we're in, and I just should mention that the Hong Kong markets closed at down nearly 5%. The FTSE is down 4.5%. France and Germany also down this morning, and Dow futures down about 200 points, and the markets open in about 25 minutes. All eyes on these markets as officials try to deal with this economic crisis. At the same time, politicians are running for office in Congress, both in the House and Senate, and of course, we have a presidential election. What are the members of the House facing, particularly Republicans, in this economic turmoil?
Well, strategists around the country, especially for Republicans, say that this economic turmoil could not have come at a worse time. Republicans traditionally in political races never like economic turmoil. People tend to turn to Democratic candidates in times like that. But this economic turmoil happened a couple of months before election time, even a couple of weeks. The bailout happened a couple of weeks before the election. If you're a Republican, especially a competitive Republican, the timing almost can't be worse.
Because now, given what's taking place, which is major government intervention, it basically is running smack into some of the basic principles of the Republican Party, right, which is a free market.
There's ideological problems with it. There are certainly pocketbook problems with it. People are feeling – this is not theoretical for a lot of people. They are feeling the economic crisis at home. Combine that with a president with a 24% popularity rating, a Congress with a very low popularity rating, and it all spells. Normally, it would spell trouble for any incumbents at all. And the Democrats are in charge of Congress, but they've only been in charge for 2 years. This is really fair or not about George W. Bush and 8 years of that presidency, and I think that's how a lot of people perceive it. It's certainly how a lot of strategists perceive it.
And this struggle with understanding, A, the crisis, and B, what the government needs to do or what's believed needs to be done. Let's listen to Michigan Republican Congressman Thaddeus McCotter trying to deal with these issues.
On my part, I consider this an abject betrayal of American taxpayers and our free market system. Let me put this in simplistic terms for people like me to understand. Not the Wall Street, Washington crony capitalists have put a $700 billion bag of dung on taxpayers' doorsteps, rung the bell, and expect you to thank them when you answer it.
That's Thaddeus McCotter, congressman, speaking on Fox News late in September, and he was describing his reaction to the bailout plan that initially was $700 billion. But some estimates today, given the Treasury Department's move forward in supporting the banking system, send it up to about $2 trillion.
Yeah. And he's described it in only a way that Thaddeus McCotter can. He's one of the most colorful and eloquent speakers in the House. He has a way of putting things and he says simple people like me. He's far from simple. He knows how to make himself sound simple. It's quite brilliant. Well, McCotter's an interesting case. He's a conservative Republican in a conservative district. He doesn't have trouble here. He's got a strong ideological position. His district agrees with him. They're against the bailout. He's in a safe seat. He doesn't have any problem with it. Now, a lot of other Republicans and even some Democrats, they might have a dicey time. It really depends if you're in a competitive race or not and how strong you've been ideologically. A Republican who's been a very strong ideological small government well, there's really no such thing as – I guess everybody's anti-socialist.
I was going to say, where's that? Right. Yeah, small government these days. Where is that?
Where is it? But so then the question is, well, you voted for this. How can you be strong government? Well, what kind of district are they in? If they're in a safe Republican district, it's not really a problem. If they're in a competitive district, the Democratic candidate is unlikely to criticize them for betraying their small government principles because the Democrat is not likely to be that kind of small government ideologue themselves. So I've looked at a lot of the ads. I haven't looked at – all of them certainly, but I'm not seeing a lot of attacks going on this bailout vote or this betrayal of your principles thing. Economy, capital E, no question about it, the number one issue. That along with George W. Bush.
But let's put this into context, because you really make an important point, which is the majority of Republicans in the House and in the Senate, those who are up for re-election, clearly everyone in the House, but not every senator, but those who are, most of them are going to be fine. But there is a pocket of potential races that Republicans may lose, and that number seems to grow weekly.
Right. Well, there are 199 Republicans in the House. That's the total. And they're, well, you're right. A couple of weeks ago, there was thought to be between 15 and 25 that were competitive or in trouble. Numbers grown to 35, edging up on 40. There were some previously safe Republicans, a guy named John Shadegg in Arizona, John McCain's home state, Lee Terry from Nebraska, who we've been talking about, Phil English, who's from Erie, Pennsylvania. These were safe Republicans.
And even senators, Elizabeth Dole.
Is in trouble. Yeah.
And John Sununu in New Hampshire. Elizabeth Dole is in North Carolina, and John Sununu is in New Hampshire.
The Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, isn't expected to lose, but he's been fighting a hard race. He's the Republican leader of the Senate from Kentucky, a strong conservative in a conservative state, and he's had to fight hard to keep his seat.
You know, let's listen to how it's this whole discussion, obviously, has impacted greatly the presidential race. Here's a vice presidential candidate, Sarah Palin.
They look to the past because they want you to think that they're running against the current president and the current administration, but that strategy is starting to wear pretty doggone thin.
That's Governor Palin, who is a Republican, and she is John McCain's running mate. But this hasn't necessarily been a really strong argument that seems to have stuck with many voters. And you had a thought on why that is.
Well, I don't think there's any evidence that the strategy of running against George W. Bush is starting to wear thin. It's probably running thin with a lot of Republicans who are frustrated by it. But this is the reality of politics, and any president with an approval rating below 30%, which is quite remarkable in and of itself, is going to be the topic of the next election. There's no way around it. Now, John McCain tries very hard and has some very good points to make that he hasn't always agreed with the president. In fact, he's opposed him on a lot of key issues. But to expect that argument to wear thin when the American electorate has made it clear how frustrated they are with this White House, it's just not a strategy that they're going to abandon. And there's no evidence that it's wearing thin. In fact, there's quite a lot of evidence that it's working.
A couple of weeks ago, when they were debating this bailout rescue plan, whatever you want to call it, on Capitol Hill, there was a lot of talk about whether or not some Republicans and even some Democrats might suffer for voting for the plan. But there seems to be in polls this acceptance now by the general population that although they're very angry about the government intervention, there is this growing feeling among the majority that something needed to be done before the economy got worse. Do you think that's played into the strategies of those who are running?
Well, part of the shock is probably wearing off. That $700 billion, oh my God, it hit people like a sledgehammer, as it should have. And voters were 9-1, more than 9-1 against it. That seems to have shrunk a little bit. Now you ask voters, there's no hard numbers on this, but maybe 6 out of 10 against it. I mean, nobody's for it, but it's really going to depend, Adora, on whether or not this is perceived to have worked by Election Day. Now, we won't know for sure. I'm talking about perceptions. This we'll know in years if this has worked. But if things get a little more stable between now and Election Day, probably no one who voted for this will suffer for it. If they turn horribly, horribly wrong and the bailout is deemed a failure and there's evidence that it's a failure, people who voted for it will really, really wish they hadn't.
What's your take on the presidential debate tonight?
Well,
is it important? Does it really matter? Do you think it's going to change any minds?
It's important for John McCain because he's running out of options. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, whether or not debates change a lot of minds, I'm not an expert in that, but certainly a lot of people will be watching. And John McCain, the clock is ticking. For Barack Obama, whoever thought that he would use a Bushian phrase, stay the course, but his poll numbers are strong. He hasn't made any major mistakes in this campaign. He wants to stay the course tonight.
Todd Zwillick, you're going to hang around. You're going to ride with us this hour.
Yes,
thanks for being with us. Todd Zwillick, Capital News Connection. And we're asking you about your vote. How did you make up your mind?
Hey, my name is Ray. I'm calling from Northridge, Mass. I was truly undecided. And one thing that did it for me was the composure of the two. I'm a registered independent, and after watching how Barack Obama handled the economic situation with a calm, cool, collective personality, I've decided to vote for him.
What's your thought? Have you made up your mind? What did it for you? Where were you? When did you make up your mind? Or are you still undecided? What haven't you heard from the candidates that's going to help you make a decision? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.